Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across that Sports Grid network. It includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. A Thursday that includes a doubleheader of NFL preseason football to kick off the third and final week of the NFL preseason. One more preseason weekend, and then we will focus on the regular season from here on out. Now just 3 days away from a Dublin debut for a college football campaign. That is Saturday out in Ireland between 10th-ranked Florida State and Georgia Tech. Of course, the Week 0 slate that we will dive into here on this Thursday and a full Wednesday of Major League Baseball. Some recaps around the sport and some history made last night in the WNBA as well. All of that DRS in these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Should be a great show. Should be a fun one here as we are setting up the stage here to start Week 0 in college football. But also, Ben, not a day goes by that we find Big Ten coaches find themselves, sort of say, in hot water, as Kirk Ferentz did. But I have to say, yesterday, we had a poll come out. These, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, is basically what it said. Do people appreciate cheating or people don't like cheating here? Kirk Ferentz said, you know what? My school, my state needs a quarterback. I'm willing to go sacrifice myself for a game in order to bring us a quarterback. He did that. The question is, though, will Iowa line up game number one, play number one, and sort of take that delay a game in a show of strength for their coach that's been suspended one game? That's the question.
Much like Michigan did a year ago for Jim Harbaugh, DRS is correct. The breaking news overnight out of Big Ten football. Kirk Ferentz and the wide receiver coach for Iowa will be suspended for the Hawkeyes season opener next Saturday against FCS foe Illinois State. This relates to a transfer portal recruiting violation as the Hawkeyes acquired Cade McNamara a season ago, the quarterback from Michigan. We'll have plenty more on that later in the show, but as Donnie says, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, and if it's going to be a simple one-game suspension, albeit for a season opener, what truly is the harm? Let's go around the National Football League as preseason week number 3 kicks off on this Thursday with a doubleheader of action, which means if we're preseason week number 3, we're coming to the final few days of training camp before real game week preparation for regular season week number 1 is on the horizon, which means NFL organizations have decisions to make, like who is going to start at quarterback week number 1. Well, the Denver Broncos have made their decision. The rookie out of Oregon via Auburn, the 12th overall pick, Bo Nix, quarterback number 1 for the Denver Broncos. He will start the season opener for Denver against the Seattle Seahawks.
Absolutely. And Ben yesterday tweeted on social media, and rightfully so, a show that we did on July 31st that asked the question, who should be starting for the Denver Broncos? Ben and I both in agreement. Of course, it's supposed to be Bo Nix. Now, granted, he had to live up to the hype in practice, but he has shown enough to Sean Payton and that team and organization that he deserves to be out there game number 1. We agree. Let's go. That's your franchise guy. Let's see what happens now over the season for the Denver Broncos.
Week number one, Sunday, September 8th, the Broncos make the trip to the Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle, a 4.5-point home favorite against Denver. The only thing that really confused this timeline, we anticipated Bo Nix would be the starter in the Mile High City. Frankly, if he lost out on the starting job to Jarrett Stidham or Zach Wilson, it would have been pretty bad to use a 12th overall pick on that talent. The only thing that really threw us for a loop, Donnie, was the initial depth chart for Denver entering preseason week number one that listed Nix as the third string QB. Sean Payton playing mind games, perhaps. Bo Nix is the starter, the first rookie quarterback to start a season opener for the Broncos since the illustrious and historic John Elway back in 1983. Plenty more from Denver's camp in just a little bit. Russell Wilson was asked after practice yesterday what the Steelers hope to do in week number three, as that quarterback room still needs to figure it out. Russell Wilson hinted that starters would play in Saturday's preseason finale for Pittsburgh on the road in Detroit. Mike Tomlin, the head man, though, for the Steelers, has not confirmed.
Yeah, and they do need to play some starters in that game because you're still trying to determine yourself who that starting quarterback is going to be. And it's not as if it's like, you know what? Game one, game two in the preseason, boy, one of these quarterbacks is really running away with it. So now it's just a formality. You're still trying to get that game plan together for that offensive team where you're saying to yourself, who's the quarterback going to be? The only way sometimes to settle this is on the field on game day. And that's why you're seeing the Steelers as a heavy favorite this weekend. Also, Ben, could we be looking at the loser? And what I mean, not the Pittsburgh Steelers themselves, the loser of that quarterback battle, could they be traded before opening day? That's going to be interesting to watch this play out in Pittsburgh.
There is a potential of it. They signed Russell Wilson for the vet minimum. They traded for Justin Fields and gave up a 7th-round pick. There has been investment, not the strongest investment you will ever see. Still a lot to determine in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. At last check, Russell Wilson was a -520 favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook to be that week one starting quarterback for Pittsburgh as they get ready to host the Atlanta Falcons. Elsewhere around Major League Baseball, just like the first game of the series, the third and final game of the series for the New York Mets against the Baltimore Orioles ends with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth. Jesse Winker hits his first long ball as a member of the Amazons. He was acquired at the end of July from the Washington Nationals. His first home run, his 4th RBI only in a pinch hit appearance for the Amazons yesterday. A solo shot in the home half of the ninth walks it off against the O's. The Mets take the rubber match and the series over Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't know when these two teams are going to play again. I assume it would be next year. But if this wasn't the rubber match and had another game, you'd probably get a fastball into the ribcage for Jesse Winker. I don't know if I've ever seen a home regular season home run celebrated as if it was the Game 7 World Series extra inning home run as he spiked this helmet. Took him about 30 minutes to run around the bases, then sort of stopped midway through third base and home and wanted high fives from everybody here. And also in the post-game presser, should have said the post-game on-field conversation between him and the television, I thought he was actually going to cry at this point. What got into Jesse Winker? I don't know, but it was a nice home run. But my goodness, do we need that celebration? Jeez.
Oh, God forbid they celebrate an exciting and significant series win. Boo-hoo, Donnie Wrightside. Tell Winker to get off your lawn. Other home runs for a New York team yesterday up in the Bronx. Two of them from Aaron Judge. Home run number 46 and number 47 this year. Judge, who set the American League record two seasons ago in 2022 with 62, is now on pace for 60. Aaron Judge even having a better statistical season in 2024 than his record-breaking year back in 2022.
These two guys are out of control, man. Soto, 5 RBI, Judge, 3 RBI. I told you yesterday, like, you can't just leave it up to those two guys and need to rely on them on a night-to-night basis. Well, the Yankees scored 8 runs. They accounted for all 8 runs there because behind them, what, Stanton, 1-for-4, Wells, 1-for-4, Volpe, 1-for-4, Verdugo, 0-for-3, Peraza, 0-for-3, Rice, 0-for-4. So yesterday I said, you got to get them some help. Apparently, Ben, you don't got to get them any help. They're all the help you need right there.
All you need is Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Judge, 5 home runs in the last 6 games for the Yanks. Juan Soto, who led off the game in the first inning with a home run as well, his 36th this year. He has 6 home runs in the last 7 for the Pinstripes. The Red Sox ruin the return of Justin Verlander. Boston wins the series finale yesterday in H-Town 4-1. They take the rubber match. The Red Sox win the set.
Yeah, not bad, though. You want to see Verlander get back out there. No worse for the wear. You'll wait for the next couple of days to get those reports. But if he is going to be healthy down the stretch and we can get him back to be the Verlander we known to know and love, yeah, that could help the Houston Astros, no doubt about it, Ben.
Five innings of work for Verlander in his first start since June 9th. Joey Votto has finally and formally announced his retirement. After 17 years in Major League Baseball, the 2010 NL MVP says goodbye. The Las Vegas Aces at home get worked by the Minnesota Lynx in WNBA action. And Tina Charles makes history. 12 points for Atlanta last night. Now the second most on that scoring list in the history of the W. Bo Nix for the Broncos. We break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is what we expected when the Denver Broncos drafted Bo Nix 12th overall in the 2024 NFL draft, that Nix would be the starter in the Mile High City from the very jump, week number one for the Broncos on the road against the Seattle Seahawks. But what made it confusing was the Broncos' initial depth chart, where Bo Nix was listed behind Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson as the third-string quarterback. But Nix has shown out throughout training camp and in preseason football for Denver, so yesterday Sean Payton made it official. Bo Nix is the starting quarterback for the Broncos. He will start the season opener in Seattle against the Seahawks week number one.
This is what's supposed to happen. When you're a bad football team, which technically the Denver Broncos were last year, moved off of Russell Wilson, you're looking for your franchise quarterback. You draft a quarterback in round number one, and it's not a 19-year-old per se, right, Ben, that's only started eight games. Correct. And you're saying, hey, he's got a high upside. Let's see if we can get after it. No, this quarterback's been around the block and has shown his moxie in college through a couple major conferences. So he comes in, you just wanted to see him like OTAs and camp, just have a good preseason. But also, let's get down to the crux of this year. The Green Bay Packers in the past, we use this, you know, so many times. Draft a quarterback, wait 3 or 4 years, put him in, and it's worked out. Why? Because you're going up against Hall of Fame quarterbacks where maybe you don't expect a rookie quarterback to actually be able to line up and say, I can beat out Aaron Rodgers in his prime. I can beat out Brett Favre in his prime. But as you measure up with the Denver Broncos, it's Jarrett Stidham. Like, come on, like, is that really who you're beating out at this point? Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson? Of course you expected your high round number one rookie quarterback to beat them out. Otherwise, what did you draft them for? But also, the one thing I do like is it wasn't as if they just handed over the torch and said, this is your football team, day number one. They actually let him earn it, gave a little adversity. Hey, you're third on the depth chart. Play your way into this position here. Yeah. Probably fully well known he could do that. But I loved what I saw to Bo Nix, seize the opportunity. But again, it's still Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson he beat out. It's not as if it's like, wow, that was a major upset. This is what should have happened and happened. Bo Nix, let's go, man. Let's see what you got.
And Donnie, we often talk about a first-round quarterback selected in the opening 32 picks, especially the top 10, top 15. They are expected to start right away. The grace period of learning behind a wily veteran is not necessarily now the standard in the last 5 to 7 years around the National Football League. So if Drake May is the backup to Jacoby Brissett, maybe it's still raw and unrealized potential at this moment. Of course, we know the situation with Michael Penix Jr. in Atlanta. But Nix was expected to be the starter, and now he is. Bo Nix has looked great throughout the preseason. He has led 6 offensive drives for Denver. Every drive has resulted in points. 3 ending in a touchdown, 3 ending in a field goal. And Nix himself has been sensational and efficient. 8 of 9 for 80 yards and a touchdown. Week number 2 for Denver at home against the Packers. The Broncos offense has put up 34 points in its preseason debut against Indianapolis. 27 points on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. And to Donnie's point, Bo Nix is not a 19-year-old redshirt sophomore who had a promising second year and is now expected to do a ton, making a huge leap to the National Football League. Obviously, it is a new level, but Bo Nix made history at the FBS level in college, first at Auburn and then in Oregon. 61 career starts, the most we have ever seen for a quarterback in FBS college football. So he does have the experience in a starting role. And his offensive rookie of the year price growing slightly shorter yesterday after being named the official starter for Denver. 13-1 became 11-1. To have the most rookie passing yards, it's plus 350. His season-long passing yards prop, still not up. But Donnie, in that clip from late July that Sports Grid tweeted out where we said Bo Nix would be the starter in the Mile High City, his number was 2850 and a hook. I bet it then. It has not come back up on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It was taken off when he was listed as the third string quarterback in that first depth chart by Sean Payton. But I would still feel pretty comfortable about laying that wager here and now.
Yeah, exactly. And also, when you're going to your rookie quarterback, and granted, again, it still gets the backup quarterback situation. There's not really anybody pushing him. So if he is going to have some struggles, let's just say weeks 3, 4, and 5, just throwing that out there, he's not going to get benched the following week, said, hey, maybe you got to sit back and learn at this point, unless he's really bad, Ben. 3 to 4 interceptions a weekend, which we're not anticipating. But you figure, barring health issues, he'll be your starter week 1. He'll be your starter all the way up to week 18 at that point, and he should be able to throw for that amount of yards. Because again, he threw for a lot in college. It's not anything new. Like, you can even date it back to the 1990s. You know, Steve Air McNair comes out of Alcorn State. Back then, it was called Division I AA. Hey, look, hasn't really had a pro set offense, an unbelievable talent. Let's sit him down for just a little bit, and then we'll let him go. Bo Nix has been around the block, a lot of pro sets here. He's ready to throw the football, earn that job here. So no surprise. And we expect good things out of Bo Nix. This isn't like, oh my goodness, I hope he can throw for the Justin Fields 125 yards a game, which some sports books used to hang on him. He should be up there priced appropriately because why? We actually think he's a pretty good thrower of the football.
And listen, you can use last year as an example, both for the Broncos and their outlook in 2024 and what that passing yards prop is going to be for Bo Nix. Sean Payton is many things, but he is an offensive guru first and foremost. Russell Wilson wasn't great last year, but he wasn't bad. Very efficient in terms of touchdowns to interceptions, 26 TDs to only 8 INTs. But he still threw for 3,070 yards in only 15 games for Denver, only throwing for more than 250 in 3 of the 15, and just once from week 3 on. If Bo Nix is even consistent and plays 15, 16, 17 games for Denver, it's why I like the prop of over 2850 and a hook. Now for the Broncos overall. Donnie, week 1, Bo Nix's first NFL career start is going to be in Seattle against the Seahawks. You will see how Denver is reflected in the odds market. They're a 4.5-point underdog against the Hawks up in the Northwest. Seattle's win total is 7.5. Denver's win total, 5.5, and the over has the slight juice. Even last year that was not considered a success in Denver, the Broncos still stumbled their way, or at least found their way, to an 8-9 record, a team now with a 5.5 win total entering 2024.
Yeah, quarterbacks making debuts. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think maybe 2 years ago was an opening day. Russell Wilson of the Broncos going to Seattle to play. And certainly, I believe he got upset in that game. So interesting that those scheduling quirks happen where Denver's going to bring a new quarterback up to Seattle. But it should be an entertaining game overall. I don't know which way I would lean just yet because I like what I see out of Bo Nix, but maybe not against starters. Probably still lean to the 12s up there in Seattle in that game.
More NFL training camp news on the other side of the break here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I am quick to criticize the New York Jets. I am quick to make a joke at the expense of Aaron Rodgers. So the last few days, I've eaten my words because the updates we have received out of Jets training camp have been positive and focused on football. For the last year and a half, I didn't know that was a thing for gangrene. But this was Robert Saleh yesterday at training camp for the New York Jets, talking about the status of Aaron Rodgers being fully ready and healthy and able to go for the week 1 opener Monday night to end out week 1 in Santa Clara against the 49ers. Quote, I think he's absolutely ready to go, says Rodgers was, quote, where we needed him when he first walked in. His arm is still 30 and he's got plenty of mobility. Again, I'm quick to make a joke, but these have been positive updates about a team gelling on the football field. That's a good sign for the New York Jets led by Aaron Rodgers.
It is. And look, we're not going to get political on this show, but RFK Jr. is going to make an announcement on Friday. Could he be bringing Aaron Rodgers back into the fold? Is that what he might have? So as much as we love football inside the building for the Jets, watch out on Friday afternoon for Aaron Rodgers coming maybe on Twitter, on X, or doing a podcast at this point might throw everything out of whack. We've had so much kumbaya moments here. If you watch, you know, deep passes down the sideline for touchdowns against the Giants. It all feels good right now. It just does. But maybe something can still throw that off, because we know Aaron Rodgers might be ready for that. Just might be.
Here I was, folks, trying to be nice to you all, trying to set the stage for the New York Jets and what could be a successful year 20 for Aaron Rodgers, his second with this Jets organization. And Donnie Wrightside had to go there. Listen, that's what DRS does better than most. I do find it fascinating, and we have talked about this ad nauseum for the last year and a half, both in the offseason optimism entering Aaron's first year in New York and now year number two after a very quickly stunted four-play 2023 NFL season for Aaron Rodgers. If he is fully healthy at the age of 40, off an Achilles injury, off the worst full season of his NFL career in 2022 in Green Bay, can Aaron Rodgers find his footing again to lead the Jets to snap a 13-season NFL playoff drought? Here are the numbers for Aaron Rodgers getting ready for year number 20 in the National Football League. 25.5 passing touchdowns, 3,600 and a hook, his passing yardage prop. A 25-1 number to win the NFL MVP award, something that he did in back-to-back seasons as recently as 2020 into 2021. Donnie, can Aaron Rodgers look like what we had seen for most of his tenure in Green Bay and not the guy that we saw in 2022 and barely saw anything of in 2023?
I think we can see that, but also the measuring stick for the Jets just basically goes back to last year, and it's not so much that I need the Aaron Rodgers of 2015 or the MVP Aaron Rodgers. I just need a competent quarterback behind center, and I think we're going to get that. Now, certainly, he's getting up there in age, was injured last year, missed the entire season. There are questions beyond that. But if we're just looking at, like, football acumen and saying, okay, Aaron Rodgers will be healthy this year, why can't they make a run? And also, when you're looking at the team that's supposed to win that division, the Buffalo Bills, Matt Milano goes down. They have a tumultuous offseason here. And you take a look at the Miami Dolphins, who, yes, there's good vibes all around them. They signed their quarterback, their wide receivers, got a new defensive coordinator, but still some mixing pieces there. And then New England Patriots. Like, I'm finding myself more and more looking at the Jets going, like, why can't they win 10 to 11 games and win that division? And if they do, you can lean on Aaron Rodgers and that defense in the playoffs. So I'm a little bit more optimistic now than I was, let's just say, to start the offseason here, Ben.
Me as well, and I have been quick to dismiss the New York Jets in capitalizing on the optimism of Aaron Rodgers. But outside of the quarterback, there is so much talent on this roster that if Aaron Rodgers even looks like he did in 2022, which by his standards over a 20-year NFL career is very mediocre, the New York Jets should be a double-digit win football team and make the postseason. 25.5, the passing touchdowns prop for Aaron Rodgers in fully healthy seasons where he has played at least 15 games. He has gone under that number only one time. It was back in 2018. He threw for 25 touchdowns. That's where I would look first and foremost at Aaron Rodgers, who will return to Northern California for his season debut in 2024. A Monday night is a scary thing for Aaron Rodgers to start off a new NFL season as of this moment. But they head to San Francisco. The line was 5.5 at open. It's now 4.5 in favor of the Niners.
I look at that 44.5, and I understand, like, both of these defenses on paper are very good. But come on, it's Shanahan and that Niners offense, and it's Aaron Rodgers getting back under center with the Jets with even more weapons. Like, shouldn't we see high 40s at least in that game? I can't wait to watch it play out, though.
I cannot wait. What an end to week number one. MLB recap from a Wednesday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a day it was for the team known as the Bombers up in the Bronx. The New York Yankees even up their set against the Cleveland Guardians in a battle for the top spot in the American League East Division, the number one overall seed in the American League this week. It's one of the few marquee midweek matchups that we have around Major League Baseball. And DRS, when you are known as the Bronx Bombers, you must step up and fit the billing. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge have done that here as of late. Aaron Judge in the bottom of the first, Juan Soto in the bottom of the first, a home run, his 36th of the year. And Aaron Judge says, cool, Juan, I'll back you up. Home runs 46 and 47 this season as the Yankees win game number two against Cleveland as nearly a $2 favorite at home, 8-1 the final.
Yeah, I told you yesterday, Nestor Cortez has some decent numbers at home while he's pitching. 7-10 now on the season, which doesn't sound great. ERA at 4, which isn't great either. But 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 0 earned runs going up against the Cleveland Guardians. That's exactly what the New York Yankees needed. And if you're taking a look at the opposite side, sometimes you just don't know enough about a pitcher. Cantillo opens up now 0-3, but 4 innings pitched, 7 earned runs given up, which included 2 home runs there. Obviously, Soto and Judge going yard early. This is what you wanted from the Yankees, but also it's kind of funny. It's 8 total runs the Yankees got, and all of those 8 runs driven in by Soto and Judge. Sooner or later, somebody is going to have to step up, and I believe they can, but it's just so funny. Talk about the day before, somebody helped these two guys. The next day, really, nobody helps them again, and they just help themselves in an easy victory over the Guardians. You'll take that if you're Nestor Cortez. You'll take that if you're the Yankees, and for the Guardians, just need some more offense than that. 73-53, they'll be fine. They'll make the playoffs, but that's a strong showing by the Bronx Bombers, which was basically Soto and Judge.
Guardians used up all of their offense on Tuesday night in the 12-inning game, scoring 6 runs in the 12th to win it in extras in the longest game of the year, 4 hours and 5 minutes in the 2024 MLB season. But the focus is on Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. As DRS mentioned, all 8 runs scored yesterday by New York off the bats of those two guys. A 2-run shot from Juan Soto in the home half of the first. A 2-run home run then from Aaron Judge. A bases clearing 3 RBI double that Juan Soto stretched into a triple or at least got to third. Mm-hmm. And then another solo shot from Aaron Judge. These two guys, DRS, 6 home runs in the last 7 games for Soto, 5 homers in the last 6 games for Aaron Judge, who of course made history 2 years ago, 62 long balls, the most ever in a single regular season in American League history. He's on pace to get to 60 once again, now with 47 home runs. But in the month of August, Juan Soto has actually hit more homers than Aaron Judge. He has 9 in 16 RBIs. Judge has 8 home runs and 18 ribbies. So the two guys, Soto and Judge, they need some help if the Yankees are going to win a World Series or contend for an American League pennant for the first time since 2009. But right now, Donnie, it has been a two-man show, and it's kind of been working out. The Yanks now 9-8 this month of August.
Hey, look at Soto batting .302 in the season. You take a look at Judge, .334. Then take a look at the surrounding components here. Torres, .237. Grisham, .190. Stanton, .240. Wells, .254. Volpe, .249. Verdugo, .229. Peraza, .200. And then Rice, .182. So you're right. It is the last man standing, and it's Soto and Judge. And if they need to be the MVP selves, they apparently can do that. So it was a great showing of force by them. But again, if you can just get everybody else to chip in around those two guys when they're humming, that's going to be good signs for the Yankees. But yesterday, those two guys were all you needed, all the offense required. 8 total runs right on Soto and Judge's back. Tremendous.
Bobby Witt Jr. for Kansas City, the best batting average in the bigs at a .352. Aaron Judge, second best batting average at .334. His slash numbers are actually better this year in 2024 than his record-breaking and record-setting year in 2022. Please, just no cut-ins of Aaron Judge trying to make history in September during college football games. That is my only request. But with the victory for the Yanks and a Baltimore loss elsewhere in New York against the Mets, the Yankees now back atop the American League East by a half game with a victory for the Yanks directly over Cleveland. The Yankees now 74-53, better than the Guardians' 73-53 record. The Yankees back atop the American League for that number one overall spot. The Phils trying to battle for the top spot in the National League. They get a victory yesterday in Atlanta. It wasn't easy. It was low scoring once again. It's a 3-2 win for the Phils over the Braves. Aaron Nola solid for Philadelphia. Max Fried solid on the other side for Atlanta. But it was only Orlando Arcia that could scratch across a run, a 2-run home run for the Braves. It was Brandon Marsh in a pinch hitting spot in the top of the 8th. An RBI sack fly, that was the difference. That was the game winner for the Phils.
Yeah, after Arcia's home run, I shut the game off. I couldn't take it anymore. Just watching, again, the AAA Braves being the better baseball team over the Phillies. And you take a look at, you know, Trey Turner, 0-3. Harper, 0-4. Boehm, 0-4. Castellanos, 0-3. Realmuto, 0-2. That's the middle of your lineup. And that is a lot of big paychecks on the line right now that are not performing. But Aaron Nola did what he needed to do in that game, keep the Phillies in it. The bullpen, even though they slipped up late in the ninth inning with Estevez, they still were able to get the victory, which is the most important thing. Yeah. But this should be a coronation series for the Phillies. They should be wiping the floor with the Atlanta Braves. And the same structure that's coming back, that what we saw post All-Star break, is still here. The team just cannot hit. And the biggest players on the team not stepping up right now. And still, they're able to win. Why? Imagine if the Atlanta Braves were fully healthy yesterday. Braves probably win that game 11-3 and pace the Phillies. But they have, I mean, the lineup that they're running out there and still being competitive, that's admirable. It really is for the Braves as they try to hang on to that final wild card spot. Sure. But even though the Phillies won and it's nice, it's just not a good performance. That lineup needs to perform, and it just hasn't done so after the All-Star break.
The Braves won the opener of this midweek set 3-1 against their NL East divisional rival. They had won 3 in a row and 7 of their last 10 entering yesterday. The 3-game win streak is now snapped. The Phils have won 5 of their last 7, but just 12-18 in the 30 games since the All-Star break. And to Donnie's point, 3 runs scored by Philadelphia, converting where they needed 2, but only 5 hits. And the RBIs came via a ground out off the bat of Kyle Schwarber, a Trey Turner RBI sack fly, a Brandon Marsh pinch hit RBI sack fly that was the difference in the top of the 8th. What a return for Max Muncy this week. His first series against Seattle since the middle of May. He hit a home run in each of the first 2 games against the Mariners, a bases clearing double yesterday to propel the Dodgers to a series victory and a sweep over the Mariners. 8-4, the Dodgers get a victory yesterday against Seattle. They were a home favorite at -180 on the money line. Total of 7.5, skies over. The Dodgers have won 9 of their last 12. They complete the sweep over the M's.
Yeah, and the M's just continue to sink lower and lower. But maybe you could throw a ticker tape parade up there in Seattle for getting 4 runs for the Mariners. That's a start, even though you got beat by 4 runs yesterday by the Dodgers. Not a great start on the mound here for Gilbert. You see, as he basically the bottom fell out in the 5th inning. 4 2/3 innings pitched, 6 earned runs against him. That can't happen. But Flaherty on the opposite side, you brought him to be your ace primarily. 5 2/3 innings pitch, 1 earned run. That's what you got yesterday. Great performance out of him and the Dodgers. Cooking now. Watch out.
When you look at Logan Gilbert, the all-star in the American League for Seattle, his whip yesterday was less than 1. I saw a stat from OptiStats that he had a chance to be the first pitcher since 1910 to have a losing record in a whip less than 1 or whatever the number was. He is 7-10 this year with a 3.21 ERA. 2 runs allowed when Jack Flaherty was in the game, but only 1 earned. He has won 3 of his 4 starts now in a Dodgers uniform after being acquired from Detroit. Mookie Betts, a couple of RBIs. And again, Max Muncy, his first series since returning, his last game prior to this one in Seattle or these 3 games against Seattle was back in the middle of May. 2 home runs and 6 RBIs in the set against Seattle. We'll look at the World Series odds on the other side of the break and plenty more MLB breakdowns and recaps from yesterday on a Wednesday around Major League Baseball. Up next, live right here on the Early Line on Sports. Come back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All 30 clubs in Major League Baseball in action yesterday, and the best performing pretty well. The Yankees, a win over the Guardians in a battle for the top spot in the American League, a rivalry in the NL East between the Phils and the Braves, and the Dodgers roll over Seattle, a 3-game series sweep, 9 wins in the last 12 for Los Angeles. LA remains a short favorite to win a World Series at +320, less than $2 in front of Philadelphia, but the Phils moving back ever so soon. slightly at a 5-1 number. The Yanks back by a half buck at plus 550. The Orioles have been below 500 since the All-Star break, now 15-16, but still 7-1. And the Astros continue their climb at plus 950. We'll talk about Houston series finale against Boston at home yesterday in the return of Justin Verlander in just a moment.
Yeah, it feels like a 14 race here as we continue to talk about the same teams, the Dodgers, the Phillies in the NL, then the Yankees and the Orioles over there in the AL with that little splash of that NL West where you're waiting for the Padres, who I believe got thumped yesterday going, and also, you know, take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're going to have some fun, you know, things to say, I should say, down the stretch, but it just feels like the final four is probably going to be that ALCS, Dodgers, Phillies, Yankees, and Orioles, and I think Major League Baseball, ratings-wise, would love that as well.
Yeah, they certainly would, and that's really where it's been for most of this year. The flip-flop has been Philadelphia with the second-best price in the National League in front of Atlanta. The Braves have moved back, just decimated by injuries, but still gutting it out there. DRS, did you turn the game off yesterday after Orlando Arcia's two-run home run against Arenola because you were mad at Philadelphia or because Arcia stared down Bryce Harper once again? Those two guys, not too fond of each other.
No, and by the he should have stared down Bryce Harper like, yeah, at least I'm hitting the baseball now, pal, as I round first base. Maybe that'll stoke a fire under our guy Harper. Again, he really can't do anything wrong in the Philadelphia area. He's great for the team, he's great for the city, and he's a great ball player. But you don't understand, being a Philadelphia fan or being in that marketplace, if you're not performing on a night-to-night basis and the team is struggling, even the best players, the most loved players, are going to catch that ire. So I did appreciate the stare down. Maybe Arcia was staring me down because I did shut the TV off minutes after that homer. Or should I say seconds after that home run was hit.
You could feel it all the way from Atlanta to South Jersey. Series finale yesterday in Houston. The rubber match between the Red Sox and the Astros. Two high-scoring games in the first two games of the set. Yesterday, a little bit more lower scoring. Boston wins it 4-1, spoiling the return of Justin Verlander, who is back on the bump for the Astros for the first time since June 9th. We'll talk about Verlander in just a moment, but the Red Sox trying to keep pace with the Royals in the American League wildcard chase. KC shutting out the Angels yesterday, winning 3-0, but Boston a victory to take the set against Houston.
Boy, you talk about all hands on deck, Ben. Seven pitchers were used for Boston, only giving up one run against the Houston Astros. And Criswell was that big component. We're saying like, ooh, I don't know how he's going to perform. 4 2/3 innings pitch, one earned run, 80 pitches. You'll take that every time on the road against a contender like the Houston Astros. That's a nice win for the Boston Red Sox. More importantly, as we said, getting to Verlander. Five innings pitch, two earned runs, probably on a pitch count right around that 75 number. He ends up with 76 pitches. So even though Houston lost that game, I think you're looking at that for myself saying Verlander coming back and being healthy and looking effective, that's much, much bigger than them just winning a single game here in the month of August.
And that single run for the Astros came very early, home half of the first. Alex Bregman, who's had a great month of August in terms of power output, another solo home run. Sadon Rafaela for Boston, the young shortstop for the Red Sox. He had a couple of RBI doubles yesterday, really propelling that Red Sox offense. You best mentioned Verlander's stats from his first pitching performance since early June. Five innings of work, six strikeouts, did allow four hits and only two earned runs. 76 pitches. But again, although they did lose the baseball game and Verlander gave up two earned, his offense wasn't really capable of helping out. It's a good sign, I would say, for the Astros to have Verlander out there in Houston, even with Seattle kind of trailing them. The Mariners got swept, unable to make up any ground after the Astros lose their final two games of the set against Boston. Still a five-game lead for the Astros in the American League West Division, and Houston still 12-6 in the month of August.
Yeah, maybe I should look at the Mariners the way I looked at the Astros sort of like a month and a half into the season. Oh, they're dead. Uh-oh. Stick a fork in them. And then by you see the, you know, September 15th time frame that they'll be right back in the race and maybe have a one-game lead over the Houston Astros.
So.
Who now, look, you have one team we're going to stick the fork in. The other one eating good with the sport, BSS. So we're having fights on both ends of the spectrums here.
A team that can do it all, that is what we categorize Houston as now. You hide the fork, you smash the fork, it's now a spork, the utility weapon that is the Houston Astros. Although Donnie did not like it, Mets fans at Citi Field yesterday afternoon loved it. and so did Jesse Winker. His first home run as a member of the New York Mets in walk-off fashion in the home half of the ninth. A pinch-hit walk-off home run off the bat of Winker, his first long ball after being acquired from the Nationals prior to the trade deadline. New York wins the third and final game of the series as it started off the series against Baltimore, a walk-off home run. In game one, it was Francisco Alvarez. In the third and final, it was Jesse Winker. The Amazons take the series with a 4-3 win.
Yeah, Dominguez coming over from the Phillies to the Orioles. Tough little week there closing out games for the Orioles. And that's big, man, because we know how talented the Orioles are. But if your bullpen can't hold down the fort in the playoffs, you're not going to be a legitimate World Series contender, because it's almost like 50-50. Give me your starting pitcher, give me your closer who can finish your game out with a one-run lead. And that's not happening right now for the Orioles. But getting back to Winker there, it's great. It's pinch hit home run. Everybody's excited. Just come on now with that. From a wide receiver position, I should be appreciative of what he did out there. But it just felt like a little bit much, as if it was the greatest hit in the history of sports here. But, hey, celebrate it how you will. He did it.
The O's have been pretty mediocre since the All-Star break. Again, 15-16, now 9-10 in August. They now trail the Yankees by a half game for that top spot in the American League East. San Diego was looking for the sweep over Minnesota. The Twins bats had other ideas yesterday in Southern California. A total of 8.5. Minnesota goes over by themselves. They win the finale 11-4.
Yeah, needed to get off the schneid there. Certainly in that pitcher's ballpark, plating 11 runs, that's got to feel pretty good for the Minnesota Twins moving forward.
It was a series victory for San Diego, but Minnesota off the mat, avoiding that sweep. The Padres have still won 13 of their last 17. More around MLB up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Does anybody want to win 100 games around Major League Baseball this season? Just about 35 remain for most teams around the bigs. And as of this moment, the answer to my rhetorical question is not rhetorical. It's a no. We'll show you why, according to the odds makers. But DRS, that wasn't always the thought entering this year. The Dodgers were a minus 184 favorite to win at least 100 games. Their win total was 102 and a hook. The Braves, who won 104 games last year, minus 150 entering the year. The Astros have won 100 games in the last 3 years. In fact, in the last five full Major League Baseball seasons, DRS, we have seen at least three clubs around the bigs win 100 games in all five of those years. Now it looks like nobody is going to get to the century mark, and everybody will be coming up short.
Yeah, it looks that way. And also, before the season started, it's hard to win 100 games. We understand that. Right. But when you're putting out the level of talent like the Braves injuries to start the season, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, it's hard even to look at that schedule, 162 games. I know you're not going to go game by game with wins, but you look at it and go like, are they ever going to be underdogs? When is the chance they're going to be underdogs? You can lose 60 ball games and still hit 100 wins, which is kind of crazy to think about. But now, as you say it, nobody is probably going to get there, because what? You need 24 wins out of the Dodgers, 26 wins out of the Phillies and the Yankees, and so forth. We don't know who's going to need those final wins in the regular parts of the season, but still, injuries are going to happen at this point. Usually to get 100 wins, you need to be on pace or above pace to get 100 wins. Not like, hey, coming down the back stretch, we're really going to blast through September with 17, 18, 19, 20 wins just in that 1 month alone in order to try to get close. I don't think anybody's getting there. But before the season, if you would have told me that a free battle in the Dodgers, did they get 100 wins? I probably would be like, yeah, I think they're going to get 100 wins.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely so. The Dodgers have won at least 100 games in the last four full Major League Baseball seasons. They have the most wins right now. They are 76-52. That's 128 games played. If I do my math correctly, carry the 434 games remain for the Dodgers. They would have to go 24-10 over those final 34 to get to the century mark. It is why right now they have the best chance with the updated outlook to get to 100-plus wins at a 3-1 price. But even the Dodgers having the shortest number is plus 300. The Phils were off to a historic start, the first time they had reached 50 games by a certain point in franchise history on June 18th. The Yankees were 51. 21-22, well on pace to get to 100. Now it seems nobody will. Which, what does that really mean, DRS, outside of a couple of lost win total tickets if you took the over on the Dodgers or the Braves? Does it mean that the very top of Major League Baseball has a lot of parity, which would create a chaotic October and MLB postseason? Perhaps.
I mean, maybe it does, but also when you're taking a look at the teams that we expected to be 100-win teams, because if you're being an analyst and looking at those teams, say, hey, the Dodgers are awesome. They got flatlined with their starting pitchers. You take a look at the Atlanta Braves. Yeah. Basically lost just about every good player for long stretches, if not for the season here. It's hard to overcome that and be the better team on a day-to-day basis. Maybe the one team that you could probably look at as the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm sure they lost JT Realmuto for a little bit, a couple guys on some minor stints on the IL, but maybe that was the team that once the season started and got on that historic pace that you figure would carry it through as long as they didn't have any real devastating injuries. Ranger Suarez was unbelievable to start the season. Now he's on the IL, but due to come back in short term. But for my money, the Dodgers and Braves clearly should have been those 100 marker teams, but then it should have probably been the Phillies after we saw that month of April into May. Like, wow, they're probably going to get there fairly easily. Now, nobody is going to get there easy. Yeah. So parity, yes, a little bit, but injuries probably a little bit more.
40 wins for the Phils by the end of May, 40-18. So the Dodgers right now, just in terms of the wins component and what it means for the postseason, the Dodgers have the best record in the National League, a full game up over the Phils. They have played two more games. They have two more wins, minus 145 to be that number one overall seed in the NL. The Yankees, 74-53, a half game in front of the O's and the Guardians for the best record in the AL. Minus 115 on New York. It is fascinating. The last time we did not see at least one club around MLB win 100 games, that was the 2014 Major League Baseball season. It seems we are destined to get to that point.
Yeah, it seems like that way, but also add some excitement down the stretch here, BSS. Wild card races are tight. Certainly. Parity is there. Nobody's running away. Four teams that I keep telling you with legitimate chances to win, and maybe some of those teams from the NL West starting to creep in, and maybe I'm just hating on the Astros. If they wind up in the World Series again, boy, what a season it would be for your boy DRS, burying a baseball team that might win a World Series. Tough scene.
And DRS, even for the battle for the second best record in each league, to earn that opening round bye, that will be contested down the stretch. Hour two starts next on the early hour.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.